It's Against All Odds presented by FanDuel. Hey, take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, the official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Welcome to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Hey, if you're watching or listening now, it means you've made it further than Kentucky. So congrats on that. The NCAA tournament is in full swing. We started with 68. After last night, we're down to 12. And they're going to keep playing until they get down to one. And then everyone switches teams and we do it all again next year. Later on, the D3, my trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, and Darren the Parlay Kid and I will give you our best bets for the Friday hoops action. Plus, baseball season officially started yesterday in the United States of America. We'll have our AL and NL MVP and World Series picks. And if that wasn't enough, last week we had college basketball analyst Seth Greenberg on. And this week we have a guest also named Seth. And I think that's where the similarities end. We've got WWE World Heavyweight Champion Seth frickin' Rollins here to talk WrestleMania 40. He's calling out The Rock, Roman Reigns, and even the Chicago Bears. We're going to talk to him in a bit. But first, let's recap the biggest sports stories of the week in the segment that was just seen smooching with Taylor Swift in the Bahamas. It's Cover 4. All right, we're down to a pretty chalky, sweet, and savory 16. Actually, 12 teams left. Only one double-digit seed remains in the NCAA tournament. There are still 11 games remaining, but of course, I'm already hearing people bragging about how they're crushing it so far in their brackets, which is hilarious. Bragging about how well you're doing entering Sweet 16 weekend is like bragging about getting a B boarding pass for a Southwest flight. It's really not that impressive, especially this year when 12 of the top 16 seeds advanced. You know who's doing great in their pool? Everyone. Every single body, except me. My bracket has more X's than Pete Davidson. But the point is, unless your pool gives prize money to leaders after round two, you can go ahead and Akron zip your lip. There's still a million possibilities left. Almost every game going forward is like a two-point spread. What is there to brag about? These are the same people who do a lap because they're winning an eBay auction for a Bartolo Colon bobblehead with 4 days left of bidding. Sadly, that one hits too close to home. Look, I don't want to be a downer, but there's an excellent chance you're going to lose your pool. Your premature ejubilation will almost definitely end in March sadness. Unless, that is, you're looking for a job as a confetti bomb guy for the Atlantic 10 Championship.
Oh my gosh, they got confetti falling right now. Confetti is falling on the floor. They're going to have to stop playing. Somebody hit the wrong button.
Only 18 minutes too early. Now I get what my wife is complaining about.
Cover two.
All right, there's another college tournament that just wrapped up. Yes, the NCAA Wrestling Tournament, aka March Madness, concluded. Penn State dominated like they usually do, crowning four NCAA champs. Congrats to them. It's a huge accomplishment for the Nittany Lions, overmatched only by our very own producer, Mikey Meatballs. Mikey Meatballs, how many college wrestling pools and brackets did you enter this year?
I entered four.
He's telling the truth. Four wrestling pools. Mikey Meatballs is a sick individual. Four wrestling pools, and that's not even the weird part. The weird part is he insists on wearing a singlet while filling out the brackets every year. Now, I wasn't paying as close attention as Meatballs, but the thing that jumped out at me during this year's wrestling action was when Ohio State's Jesse Mendez hit a rare move in his match against Nebraska's Brock Hardy. It's known as the Spladle Cradle, and I know this is a PG-13 show, so if you're squeamish, please cover your eyes now, but if you appreciate greatness, go ahead and take a look. There it is. If that move looks familiar, it's because Amber Heard and Johnny Depp testified about it in their trial a couple years back. But seriously, the Spladle Cradle is a maneuver I tried to perfect in high school and failed miserably, of course. Despite eating an unlimited amount of pretzels, my body refused to bend like one. What a shame. Jesse Mendez did it. He nailed the Spladle Cradle, the triple axel of all wrestling moves. Yes, Jesse is the real winner, and with all respect to Pedro Pascal, here's hoping Hollywood comes to their senses and casts him as Mr. Fantastic.
Cover 3.
All right, I know the Oscars have come and gone, but the Academy really missed out on a late entry for Best Picture. Here it is, a real photo Oppenheimer. There are the 28 NFL coaches in all their glory. It's supposed to be 32, but Sean Payton, Mike McCarthy, Nick Sirianni, and Matt Eberflus all missed it. They're like the camp counselors who overslept after partying all night. But anyway, they do this every year. They get together at the league meetings in Orlando. It's basically just an excuse for everyone to introduce themselves to the new Raiders coach every March. And I love this picture. There's so much to unpack. It looks like a catalog for Dockers. You got the Harbaugh brothers together pretending not to despise each other. Also, I love how they keep Giants coach Brian Daboll all the way on the far right, just in case they have to crop him out after he's fired on draft day. But my favorite is how some of these guys choose to puff their chest out, clench him with every ounce of their being so that every last vein in their arms is on display. And then there's Andy Reid. Look at him. He doesn't give a crap about any of this. I am not in shape, and I don't care. I can curl 3 Super Bowl rings, and the rest of you can't. Look at this beautiful bastard, wearing a Hawaiian shirt like he's about to hit up Margaritaville. With Coach Reid, it's all cheeseburgers in paradise all the time. This picture provides me with all the intel I need. It's March, and Andy's already feeling it. Get on that future bet for the Chiefs to repeat as Super Bowl champs. All hell, Andy Reid, the NFL's commander in casual. I absolutely love this time of year. Spring has arrived and Major League Baseball is back, and it should come as no surprise for you to learn that when it comes to starting lineups, I am most interested in the rookie food items served at various ballpark concession stands. Here are some of the new diamond delicacies. The Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati leads things off with a Big Red Dog. It's a giant red smoky wrapped in bacon, topped with pimento cheese, signature sauce, and served on a toasted pretzel bun. Bold, yet boring, sort of like the Reds themselves. Coors Field and the Colorado Rockies have a massive 20-ounce Dino rib. Let's go ahead and test this thing for HGH. And it's great because if all the bats break, a player can track you down in the mezzanine to borrow your rib bone so he could take some hacks. The Kansas City Royals have a burger with bacon, buffalo aioli, blue cheese covered by a bright blue bun. Blue to signify the permanent color you'll turn if you ever consume more than even one of these. And not to be outdone, batting cleanup, the Miami Marlins have something interesting, the all-you-can-eat tickets. Finally, a reason to go to Marlins games. This is a legit thing. Starting at $52, between the first and seventh innings, you can waddle up to the concession stand as many times as your diseased heart desires. The all-you-can-eat offerings, hot dogs, chili dogs, nachos with cheese, chili nachos, cheeseburgers, popcorn, peanuts, cookies, soda, oh, and water, alcohol, and antacids not included. Yes, home of the South Beach diet, the Marlins are giving us all-you-can-eat tickets. They're really feeding into America's feeding problem. Major League Baseball is trying everything to shorten games as well as your life. You know things are bad when your cholesterol is higher than Lance Lynn's ERA. Yep, it's a game of inches that are all added to your waist. So enjoy the baseball season as long as your colon can take it. Donut batter up. All right, that does it for Cover 4. Now it's time for my irrationally angry attempt to make rational sense of a somewhat irrational bet. It's wagerage. Okay, so let's address the elephant in the room. This gambling scandal involving Shohei Ohtani and his former interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara. Now, the story has changed more than Rihanna during a two-hour concert, but here are the facts as we know them. Ipe was fired by Ohtani last week after the Dodger megastar reportedly found out that his trusty friend slash interpreter had embezzled $4.5 million from him to pay off illegal gambling debts. Ohtani held a press conference this week and said he didn't know about any of this until Ipe told the Dodgers last week that he had a gambling problem. Here's some of that.
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports.
Ohtani went on to say he himself never bet on baseball. He threw in that last week he choked a bat boy for even trying to get him to join an NCAA pool. Whatever. He tried his best to distance himself from any wrongdoing, which, of course, didn't sit well with the skeptics. They still theorize that Shohei is the one with the gambling problem and that Ipe is the fall guy. And not that it matters, but I'm not ready to commit either way. $4.5 million is an O-ton of money, don't get me wrong, but Shohei might not have known anything about this. It's possible he's just a weird, oblivious guy. Remember, this is the same character who got a $700 million check and decided it was best to defer payments. And despite the fact that he immediately became the most eligible bachelor in LA, he chose to announce he's getting married before once visiting the Playboy Mansion.
Yo, it's not around.
What is it?
It have died, so the mansion.
Oh my God, that's terrible news. All right, anyway, Shohei seems like an introverted, totally gullible dude who may be telling the truth, but there is one fact that is pretty damaging to his case. I did some digging and noticed that Shohei shares a birthday with another notorious sports gambler. Yep, yours truly. I hope no one else makes this casino connection. If the trend follows, we're probably going to find out that Edie Falco and Huey Lewis have keno addictions. That's the rager. Here's the wager. I am shorting Shohei. FanDuel has last year's AL MVP pegged for 37.5 home runs, and I am going under. He had 44 last year, 34 the season before. I just don't know. Lots of pressure this year. Should see some tougher pitching. Maybe a phantom injury that sidelines him for a couple weeks. I just don't trust anything with this dude right now. And yes, I don't need an interpreter to understand that right now everybody's cursing me in many languages. Not sure how to say Sal's a no fun phony in pig Latin, but I'm sure it's out there. And maybe it is true. Maybe I am a no fun phony. I typically bet the don't pass line in craps. I cashed in on no buzzer beaters last week in the college games. Last December, I bet that St. Nick would be late delivering gifts on the Santa tracker. Now I'm shorting the most incredible specimen baseball has ever seen. Yep, this is what I do. But baseball fans don't have to worry about me betting Shohei to come up short on his dinger total. For the good of the sport, they need to be more focused on what happens when we find out that Ohtani joined me on the wager. Some sashimi for thought. Hey, later on, the D3 give us their best bets for today's Sweet 16 games and some MLB MVP talk. But coming up next, we got a wrestling champ in the building, Seth freaking Rollins. He's next on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer.
All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. We are a little more than a week away from WrestleMania 40. It's going down in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field, April 6th and 7th. My next guest will be there on night one, teaming with Cody Rhodes to take on The Rock and Roman Reigns. Then on night two, defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre. He's a visionary. He is a revolutionary. He is a Chicago Bears fan. He is Seth freaking Rollins. What's happening, Seth?
Yeah, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well. We're going to talk all about WrestleMania in a second, but I feel we need to get your thoughts on everything the Bears have done this offseason. Or maybe not. I don't know. You don't seem happy with that. I know you were a Justin Fields guy. Did they make the right move saying goodbye to him?
You know, I understand the move. I understand the move. I think time will tell. You know, these rookie quarterbacks coming out of college, they got a lot of hype. But the track record is inconsistent. You never really know what you're going to get till they get out there and they start playing in the pros. You know, you could get a Peyton Manning. You could get a Johnny Football. You don't know, you know? And so I think it's one of those things that we're going to have to wait and see. Now, I will say this. They put the weapons around the kid. We're presuming it's going to be Caleb Williams. We're presuming he's going to be the number one pick. If anything goes sideways in the next month, who knows? But right now, based on his pro day and everything else, looks like Caleb Williams. They got Keenan Allen. So you got DJ and Keenan Allen. They got Komet. They got Swift. They got, you know, Rashawn Johnson is in his second year. They got weapons. And the O-line was good. I think Justin held the ball a lot, a little too long last season. Made the offensive line look a little bad on paper. But if you watch the tape, I think they did a pretty good job for the most part. So kudos to them for pulling the trigger and getting it done. And I hope Justin, you know, lands on his feet, whether it's in Pittsburgh or anywhere
else.
This
is a rarity. You are a Chicago Bears fan with a really good attitude about the outlook of this team. I really do. And you know what else you are? You know what else you are, Seth? You are wearing the same shades, if you will, as Jim McMahon did. You might be a little young for Jim McMahon, but I feel like you could step in at QB there and get the job done.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, to be fair, with all the rules they have protecting these QBs, I'd probably be all right.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm not going to get hit that much, so I think I'll be okay. I just got to figure out how to flick that ball down the field now. But yeah, man, I got the style for it. That's for sure. I can do
that. You've taken your share of bumps without the padding. So good for you.
That's for sure. I can take a lick or two. But I'm telling you, man, I'm optimistic because the way the team finished in the last half of the season. You look at what the defense did, you know, after they kind of got over the speed bumps in the beginning of the season. And once we added Montez Sweat on the D line, things are really good. The linebackers are great. I think we add some interior defense, maybe another edge rusher. But I mean, bringing back Jalen Johnson is huge. It's a great young team, and I'm excited for the future. If this quarterback, if Caleb Williams is the right guy, man, cross my fingers, because the NFC North is stacked. Detroit and Green Bay are a really good team, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they really are. I like your chances to at least make the playoffs. I think that's going to be my surprise pick. So in essence, you're screwed because I'm picking your team.
Don't jinx me, man.
Yes, no, yeah, you're done.
Come on now.
You were okay like a minute ago, and now it's now it's gone south. I do want to say, you know, March Madness is going on real quick. Is there a WWE NCAA March Madness pool?
No, and if there is, I'm not in on it. Nobody clued me in on it. And that's okay, man. I'm very focused on actually the women's bracket this year. Being from Iowa, Caitlin Clark, she's my girl. They're my team. I hope they can take it all the way this year and win the national title. That'd be great. Been a long time since Iowa's had a national title in anything aside from collegiate wrestling. So it would be pretty sweet.
She's a lot of fun. And by the way, that would be a nice little surprise at WrestleMania. Let's get right to it. WrestleMania 40. April 6th and 7th. It seems like you and CM Punk were destined to fight each other after he returned, but then he got injured. Yeah, you think he's faking an injury to avoid wrestling you?
His ego is too big to fake an injury.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think he's too big. He wouldn't, they call me a spotlight junkie. He is the epitome. He's the OG spotlight junkie. I don't think he'd fake an injury if it meant a big payday for him.
Okay. All right. So now it's you and it's The Rock is involved. And by the way, when The Rock rips a promo, he gets super personal. He called you a clown. He called Cody a mistake child. He brought your wife, Becky Lynch, into it. Is there anything that's over the line with you?
No, because it's coming from him. And I know what he's trying to do. And look, he is living kind of on his past receipts. And that's the way The Rock has always done things. And I get that. But I mean, come on, dude, come up with something more original. First of all, I'm not a clown. I got style you never had, pal. Second of all, you can't dog on my wife. You can't dog on me for being married to the greatest of all time. I mean, that's not a dunk, dude. I'm not insulted by that. There's nothing you can say about my wife that's going to make me feel bad, especially when you're saying I'm not as popular as her. Duh. Come on now. This is the greatest of all time. This is Becky Lynch. Book comes out soon. own. Come on, what hasn't she done? I am in no way ashamed to be married to the most amazing woman on the planet. So you can't dog me, man. So I'm not offended by The Rock. What I am offended by is that he's coming back here trying to say that he made wrestling cool again. He made WWE cool again. Dude, he hasn't been cool in 20 years. All he's done the last 5 years is try to latch himself onto things he thought were cool. And then in turn, he made them uncool. All right. WWE was hot before The Rock got back. We sold tickets to WrestleMania. We sell tickets every single night to Raw, to SmackDown, to these live events, to these international tours without The Rock. And I said this in the beginning, we're happy to have you here, but we don't need you, pal. So come in, collect your check, make everybody think you're cool, and then go back to doing whatever it is you do in Hollywood, you know, because it ain't making good movies. I'll tell you that.
I love it. And I love that you have to, well, you probably don't like this as much. You have to split your focus between The Rock night one, Drew McIntyre night two. And by the way, Senor Money in the Bank, Damian Priest floating around there looking to cash in. How do you prepare? Are you watching tape? I don't know how you even do this.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a lot on my plate. It's a lot on my plate, but I want people to understand. I want you to understand. Very important here. A lot of people looking at me like, man, why is Seth Rollins in this match? Understand, I'm the main character here. This whole thing revolves around me. Roman Reigns, who he is without me in our days in the Shield. Cody Rhodes isn't who he is without the trilogy of matches we had when he came back. The World Heavyweight Championship doesn't exist if it's not for me. So Drew McIntyre doesn't even have a match on WrestleMania. And The Rock coming back trying to steal our spotlight. This company is not as hot as it is without me. They can try to steal my thunder all they want. Just understand where the flowers go at the end of the day.
Yes. Oh, man, you are really super pumped for this. And let me tell you something. I don't know if you saw this. You talked about college wrestling and national champions and stuff. Obviously, you had the collegiate tournament wound up this past weekend. Did you see Ohio State's Jesse Mendez hit this rare move? It's called the Splatel Cradle. Basically, give the guy a single leg and then you come over the top and you guys are split in two like pretzels. And by the way, you could really show what The Rock is cooking, if you know what I mean, with this Splatel Cradle. Give me your thoughts here.
Oh, okay.
See that?
Oh, man. If I pull out the Splatel Cradle, Rocky don't stand a chance, man.
I don't even know if his trunks would stand a chance. All right. Well, something to consider. Hey, Triple H comes to you. Now, you have meant so much to the company. So what if Triple H comes to you and says, you know what, Seth, you've earned this. Anyone you want, any band in the world to perform your entrance music at WrestleMania, who you picking?
Oh, wow. That's tough, man. I mean, look, I always loved Metallica growing up. They were my introduction to like heavier music. So you don't get any bigger than that.
Yeah, I don't even know if you'd be able to wrestle after that, right? What a rush. I mean, I wouldn't need to, man.
I'd be like, done, over, we did it.
Right, you'd be flying. All right, listen, I want to play a game with you here, and this is not quite out of left field. So Becky, your wife, had a rough go of it on Celebrity Jeopardy. I think she had zero correct responses. But listen, now you were said, I think you were quoted as saying, you think you would kill it on Celebrity Jeopardy. You think you would do well?
I might do okay with the trivia. Yeah, okay. I might do right. I'm a learned man, so I think I'd be okay. I don't want to toot my own horn and then come out here and blow it, but I think I might be all right.
Well, all right. So what we did is we picked out questions that actually appeared on Celebrity Jeopardy. So let's see. Let's put you to the test. And, you know, if you get some wrong, we'll just cut it out. No one will ever see it. Okay. All right. Here's the first one. Here's the $200 question. To be or not to be is a famous line from this Shakespeare play.
What is Hamlet?
What is Hamlet is correct. All right, don't forget to buzz in. You have to buzz in. Otherwise, I'm going to cut you. Okay. She was the redheaded cast member of the New York City series Sex in the City.
That one, I don't know. I never watched Sex in the City. That one's got me.
All right, you were just tested. Your masculinity holds true. Good. It's who is Miranda? All right, one more, Seth. We're going to have you go out as a winner here. This man pinned Drew McIntyre on April 7th, retaining his World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 40.
I got that one.
Go ahead.
Who is a visionary? Who is a revolutionary? Who is Seth freaking Rollins?
Yeah, Seth freaking Rollins. April 6th, April 7th, WrestleMania. Get it now. Pay-per-view. Seth, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Cheers, brother. I appreciate you having me.
All right. We will be right back with more Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Hey, another big day of March Madness coming up, and no one else I'd rather break down the brackets with than these guys. They're my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds of D3, Harry, Brother Brian, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hi, Sal.
What's going on,
well,
buddy?
Listen, I just had Seth freaking Rollins on. He was great, and I asked him, though, if he could have a band perform his entrance music live, who would he choose? And it blew his mind. He had never thought about it before, and then eventually landed on Metallica, which is a good choice, I think. But Harry, I was wondering with you specifically, I'll get all your answers off camera, but Harry, I feel like you have a lot of range with this. You could go from Springsteen to like Exposé or something. Who would you choose?
You know, obviously, knowing me and knowing that I love hair band type of music,
ironically,
probably something Bon Jovi, White Lion-ish. But how about Poison? Sal, you remember the song from college? It was something silly that I did back in the dorms. But Unskinny Bop by Poison is one of my all-time favorites. It would totally get me pumped.
Harry would dress in like pink spandex, and we had like a strobe light, and he would dance to Unskinny Bop.
Wig.
Yeah, the wig, right. Yeah, it all going on. And I think
just there.
Yeah, they eventually threw you out of the dorms because of that, right? It was just too much for everyone to take. All right,
it was too
that's
much.
A good answer. Not Metallica, but a little Unskinny Bop action.
Unskinny Bop, oh, no. Bop. Oh, sure, yeah, just this love is what I get play, for asking. Yeah.
Anyways, all right, listen, Harry, these games aren't going to pick themselves. We have four tonight after four yesterday, and then the number gets less and less and less. So let's go over these. Parlay Kid, you and I, let's cover this Marquette-NC State game. Marquette laying 6.5. It's at American Airlines Center in Dallas. I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. NC State just got to the dance. To get there, they had to win 5 games in 5 days. No one's talking about this. No one. I think people are afraid their broadcasting license is going to be revoked or something. No, that's all anyone's talking about. But now it's a new week. And I really feel like the momentum of playing every 6 hours is gone now. It actually inspired and fueled NC State. Not sure the rest does any of them good. They rank 225th in field goal percentage defense at the rim, which is not great when dealing with Oso Ogudora. Of course, Tyler Kolek at over 7.5 assists a game. I think his number is 7.5, actually, if you want to bet it on FanDuel. 20-11 he averaged in the first 2 games. Is definitely going to be a factor against a team and not great against the pick and roll. Give me Marquette by double digits. Parlay Kid, Shaka Smart advances 80-68. You agree with me?
Yeah, I like Shaka. Unskinny, very not appropriate. I mean, really, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Perfect, Harry. Nice telling. Job. Nice
good
job.
One. Good one, Dave. Good one.
Very telling. It's amazing. Yes, I love Marquette in this game. So they average 79 points per game. They shoot basically 49% from the field. And my magic number shooting 35% from three, just a little bit over that number. They're top 20 in assist to turnover ratio in the country. And Cam Jones and Tyler Kolek, who you've mentioned already, are a terrific veteran backcourt combo. Mm-hmm. They shoot about 50% between the two of them. And Kolek is an assist machine. They've been humming since he's returned these first 2 games. Let's take Marquette and the points.
All right.
Minus the
That's a fun one. All right, let's jump around a little here. Houston minus 4.5 versus Duke. This is, I don't know. I think this is the one people are looking forward to the most. 133.5, though. Very low over under. Duke kind of playing possum. Either that or they lucked into their matches versus Vermont and James Madison. Defensively, they were lights out. They averaged 51 points against. But this is a different beast in Houston, who forgot to play defenses despite being number one in the country defensively. Gave up 90 to Texas A&M. But I think this is a buy low, sell high spot for both Duke and Houston. I'm buying low. Emmanuel Sharpe was the man for the Cougars. Sophomore averaged 13 points, but put up 30 versus A&M with LJ Cryer fouling out. Four guys actually fouled out for Houston. They still won the game. If everyone stays on the floor, I like Houston to emerge with the better guard play. Calvin Sampson, I'll tell you one thing, he will be fouling up three if there's little time left to get a shot off. But I don't think there will be. I don't think that's going to be the case. I'm going to say 70-61 final. Brio, you don't like that, right? You're going over.
No, I don't like that at all, because I like the over here at 133.5. And look, I know Houston's the best defensive team in the country. You can't go by that Texas A&M game at all. But the line is obviously extremely low because both teams play well defensively. But look, if Duke can score pretty much against anybody, we saw they were got into the 70s against defenses like Virginia, which seems almost impossible. Huh? And Houston's offense, they do just enough, you know, whatever's needed in the game for them to score. So look, I'm not saying this is like super high scoring, but I still think this is like a 73-66 type of game, which puts you relatively at ease on the over. And like you said, you might have some fouling here late in the
game. All right, I screwed up. I said 70-61. You said 73-66. So I'm off three. All right, I'll work on it. We'll get you there, Bri. We'll get you to
Thank
the
you.
Over.
Thank you.
Tennessee, Creighton, the Volunteers, 2.5-point favorite, 143.5 is the over under. I do not want Creighton to win. Harry likes them too much. He has them cutting down the nets. But I feel like they're the full of crap team that knuckleballs their way into the Elite Eight, and God forbid, even further. You got Steven Ashworth and Creighton. They like to push the pace offensively. Tennessee, bottom half of the country in terms of transition defense. And then you got Ryan Kalkbrenner. He cannot be as bad as he was in the second half against Oregon. Still one of the best rim protectors in the game. Maybe Dalton Knecht doesn't go as crazy. Mild upset, I'm saying here. I'm going to take the Blue Jays 78-72. I hate it. Harry's pick stays alive. And I know you're good. There's no point in even going to you, Harry. You're taking Creighton as well.
Of course, I'm taking Creighton. This just might be the Blue Jays' time after last year's crap phantom call late in the Elite Eight game against San Diego State. Creighton's averaging 82 points per game in the tourney versus Akron and Oregon. You mentioned guard transfer from Utah State, Steve Ashworth. He was huge for Creighton last game. Center Ryan Kalkbrenner can match up with anyone. 23-8 in the first game against Akron, had 19-14 against Oregon. I expect a better game from guard Trey Alexander. When they're at their best, McDermott's team can hang with anybody. They don't forget, they beat UConn this year by 19 earlier this year. And just 2 weeks ago, Tennessee got smoked wire to wire in the SEC tournament by an average Mississippi State squad. Give me Creighton 80-70.
All right. Yeah, that's about where I have it. All right, let's finish off here. Parlay Kid with Purdue, Gonzaga, the Boilermakers, 5.5-point favorite, 154.5 is the over-under. I talked to Tate Frazier, nice guy, by the way, you guys should meet him, about how the Zags might have been playing possum, kind of like Duke. And Coach Few, I feel like he's like, yeah, I get it now. I don't need to trounce St. Mary's three times a year. Just get me my 5 seed. I got to beat the 1 seed anyway. Hopefully it's the one that blows it every year, and so happens he matches up with Purdue. I'm going to take Gonzaga plus the points here. Boilermakers won this game. They played in like 17 months ago in Maui. They won by 10. But I feel like they're going to let Zach Edey get his points. They really don't have anyone to match up. No one really does. And then they have 4 starters and a guy off the bench who averages double digits. Graham Ike, Anton Watson average double doubles. Just a smart offense. They're going to push the pace. They can't shoot 18% behind the arc, which is what they did the first time they matched up in Maui. If they get to 30, I think 30% is the magic number. That's what Purdue averages on defense for three-pointers. They'll keep it close. Give me the 5.5. I think this is a great game. 77-75. Purdue wins, fails to cover. Parley Kid, now you have to take Purdue. You and Harry battled for years over whether or not Painter's a good coach. You need this win back. You need this win more than like the Yankees to win the World Series, right?
Yeah, I'll be feeling the pressure with this game for sure, Sal. But I know you at Purdue too.
Yeah.
I know you're taking the Zags here, but I'm sure on the money line, as you just mentioned, you do like Purdue to win this game. And as you said, 10-point victory by Purdue back in November in Maui. But Sal, Edey's been on a different level so far in this tournament, averaging 26.5, 17.5, 3 blocks per game. He is all business. Guard Smith and Lawyer, Sal, they shoot close to 45% from three. Nobody has an inside-outside game like Purdue. And here's the thing. You did mention the Zags. They shot 18% against Purdue from three the first time around. Sal, look at the trend against the premier competition when the Zags face premier competition this year. And I'll even throw St. Mary's in there. They don't shoot over 20% from three in those games. I don't see that trend changing here. I don't think they'll shoot the ball well here in this game. Purdue will cover the 5.5.
Well, if they do, it won't be because of the coach, right, Harry?
Listen, again, like I've mentioned, the committee gave Purdue a gift, the cakewalk to the Elite Eight, whatever.
This is a cakewalk.
It all comes down to Purdue versus Creighton, no. Right, Darren? It'll all come down to Purdue versus Creighton.
I hope
Creighton.
It does. I really do.
Let's go.
Really
Let's go.
All right, listen, FanDuel has these props now. You could do Friday props. They had them yesterday. You could check them out. Lowest scoring team. Let's do this one. I'm going to say NC State at 6-1. Like I said, I think that time off hurts them. 7 wins, 12 days. Now a little back down to earth. They've had some clunker games, too, before they went on these tournament runs here. 64 points versus Duke and Pitt. 65 against Syracuse. You know, they have it in them to put up a dud. Kevin Keats' squad, I think, comes down to earth. 6-1 odds you can get for them to be the low-scoring team on Friday. Harry, you're going with me.
I'm right with you, Sal. Exactly what you just said is how I feel, too. Wolfpack have been on a winning streak. They won 7 straight, but this is a team that's lost 14 times this year. Played on emotion and adrenaline, but these days off, we see this happen a lot of times. With like a 10 or 11 or 9 seed that makes it this far, and then those 4 or 5 days off cools them down, comes back down to earth against this Marquette's defense. I got NC State as well with
all right, Parlay Kid, Purdue highest scoring team. That's the favorite, right?
That's the favorite. I'm going to get them at +220 on Friday to be the highest scoring team. So they average 84 points per game. They shoot 49% as a team from the field, including a third best, or I should say second best in the nation from three at 41%. They have fifth in assists per game in the country, and they're the third best offensive rebounding team in the country. All those things lead to points. I think this is a dominating performance by Purdue. They go 85-plus on
All
Friday.
All right, Brian, take it away. Tennessee-Creighton. Closest game is an interesting one to root for.
Yeah, closest game at +220. And look, to me, I know you talked about maybe Houston Duke being the best matchup. I think this is actually the best matchup of the day. And I like Tennessee to win, different than you guys. But I think Creighton's one of those teams, they just do not go away. They're always hitting big shots if they're down. Parlay Kid's favorite, Shireman, I know, is always hitting big threes in these games. And I think this is going to be the type of game. A lot of lead changes. And I kind of expect this to be decided in the last minute or two. I think two of those other three games are going to be somewhat blowouts here. So give me this as the closest game at +220.
All right, I love it. I love all the action. Good job by you, fellas. Hey, stick around. Baseball's back. We're going to give out our ALNL MVP picks. What a tough decision for the Parlay Kid. Which of his beloved Yankees will we take? Juan Soto or Aaron Judge? I'm going to give him some time to think about it. That's next on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Still joined by the D3 Harry Brother Bry. And Darren, the Parlay Kid. Baseball officially underway, and the Pirates, unfortunately, have been mathematically eliminated. But everyone else, I know, everyone else still has high hopes for this season. FanDuel has got you covered with win totals, league leaders, and, of course, player awards. We're going to give our MVP picks right now. Let's start in the senior circuit. Acuna, 5-1. He's the champ. Betts, +650. Freeman, 9-1. Otani, +950. I'm going to go, let's start. Start off with me. I'm going to go Freddie Freeman, 9-1. Most hits, I have him at 10-1. He had 410 hits in the last 2 years. That is a lot of damn hits. He won the MVP in 2020. And I know that Harry doesn't care about this part of the equation, but he always gets MVP votes. Ninth a couple years ago, fourth 2 years ago, third last year. Aside from winning, like I said, in 2020, he's protected like no one else in his lineup. Betts and Ohtani in front of him. The Dodgers could steal votes from each other, but it didn't really happen with the Braves last year with Olsen and Acuna. So I'm not going to pass up 9-1 on Freeman. He's too consistent when he's healthy. That's my pick. Harry, you're going Ohtani.
Yeah, at 950, I think it's tremendous value for a guy who won it last year and won it in 2021. Don't have to be concerned about him getting injured pitching 124 home runs last three seasons. And that's with missing 30 games last year. It's showtime for Shohei in LA. Had career highs last season in slugging percentage, on base average, and total bases. I'm going to take Ohtani at plus 950. Again, Sal, I think that's tremendous value.
All right. Well, I mean, you said he doesn't have to worry about pitching, but isn't that kind of why he won MVP last year? Wasn't that factored in?
We had that debate about it plenty last year. But still, I think its numbers are going to be tremendous in L.A. Tremendous.
Okay. I'm getting news now that Ohtani shorted himself at minus 2,000 for MVP. I don't know if that means anything to anyone. All right. Parley kid, Mookie Betts, for God's sakes, he's playing shortstop this year.
Well, that's the thing here, Sal, right? Like, I don't think this is getting enough attention that you have a guy that has been basically played outfield his whole career, kind of moved to second a little bit, and now he's playing shortstop at the age of 31. This guy is an elite athlete. And if he puts up the same numbers he did last year, 307, 39, 107, terrific OPS, et cetera, playing the premier position in baseball at shortstop, I think he's a winner here. And let's face it, he's got a head start, Sal. He's 6-for-9 with a home run and 7 RBIs already to start the season. So I got a little bit of a jump on this. I love Betts. I know we're all over the Dodgers here. We know they're going to win like 100-plus games. And I think Betts is their best all-around player. I think if he plays, I'm not saying a gold glove defensive type of shortstop, but just a solid shortstop, make some few flashy plays here or there to make the highlight reel. He's going to win this award, Sal. Get him at right now at plus 650. Before it's too late.
It's a lot of Dodgers. I mean, we were talking about before, Dodgers or Braves, it's probably, what did we say, like minus 300 for that? Maybe Dodgers plus 130 or something like that. It's a Dodger. Yeah. I'd love to see FanDuel put odds up for that. All right, Brother Bry, now you have a very controversial pick here. Our producer, Jack, heard about this ahead of time and threatened to quit. He's like, I will walk out if he says the name's Fernando Tatis. So, balls in your court.
He did. He did not like that pick at all. But yeah, I kind of like it at plus 1,000 here. Look, he didn't have a great season necessarily last year, but you got to factor in he missed all of 2022. So he wasn't going to have that good of a year. But let's just think back of 2021 when he was 22 years old. 42 homers, 97 RBIs in just 130 games. He's a special talent, right? Still only 25. So he should get back to putting up those 40 home runs, 110 RBIs here. And if I wasn't looking at him, I'd also look at Betts here, but I like the odds at 10.
All right, let's go over to the American League. Juan Soto favored at 5-1. 5-1. My God, hasn't taken a swing in the pinstripes yet. Judge 7-1. Seager, Rodriguez, Alvarez. You get them at 10-1. I'm going to take one of those guys, Julio Rodriguez. 10-1 odds, 32 homers, 103 RBIs last year. He's got 60 homers total in his first 2 years. Again, I love the guys who get votes, right? He had MVP votes in his first 2 years in the league, 7 in his rookie of the year season, and 4th last year. So, you know, you got no Ohtani now in the American League. So you got that going for you. He's out of the way. He's 23 years old, doesn't turn 24 until December. I know the Mariners are only supposed to win 88 games. But I love this kid's trajectory. I really do. He should get 40. He should smash FanDuel's total of 31.5 home runs. Brother Bry has Rodriguez for 70-1 odds for most RBIs, which I think is just an insanity. Is worth a shot on everything coming up roses for Julio Rodriguez. That's my pick at 10-1. Harry, you're going Bobby Witt Jr., who disappointed everyone. He was an odds-on favorite to win Rookie of the Year last year, and that didn't happen. But you like him for MVP this season.
I like him for MVP. Very intrigued by this number at 18-1. When's the last time? Look, it proves that I don't hate every team in Kansas City either. When's the last time a Royal was before season, during season, 18-1 to be MVP for the league? But I'm going with Bobby Witt Jr. First off, has terrific pedigree. His dad played in the majors from 86 to 2001, is entering its third season with Kansas City, and was taken second overall in the 2019 draft, led the AL in triples last year. And I'm going to do a comparison here. He's only 23, and in two seasons in Kansas City, in two seasons when Kansas City at shortstop, has 50 home runs, he has 176 RBIs and 79 stolen bases playing for the Royals. Now, the captain, Derek Sanderson Jeter, in his first two seasons as a New York Yankee with talent all over the place, had 20 home runs in his first two seasons. Again, Witt, 50. Jeter had 148 RBIs. Again, Witt, 176. And Jeter, 37 stolen bases. Witt, 79 stolen bases, just to compare shortstops in the first 2 years. Huge monster year for Bobby Witt Jr. in only his third season.
I'm a little worried here because we have 4 minutes remaining in the segment, and I think the Parlay Kid is going to use 25 of them screaming at Harry for this. But
I'm not going to scream because it's ridiculous, Sal. He picks Bobby Witt just so he can go after Jeter. That's all. Like,
no.
He really doesn't
against
think
all odds,
Witt's going to win the
against
MVP.
Against all odds, I took him for stolen bases.
Of course, you took the same guy. Of course you did. You took the same
guy.
You
can win both. You can win both.
I get it.
All right.
No, I mean, Witt's a heck of a player, but the Royals going to win more
than
80
games
this
year. Well, that's the problem, Harry. The also-rans don't really produce MVPs if you look
historically. Why is he 18-1? He should be 60 then.
All right. I don't know.
The Royals could be a surprise team. You could win 81 of
that. Are the Yankees
going to
win 80? I'm not so
win
sure.
That division.
All right. Well, they're projected to win. That's why the number is where it is.
Picking
Look, he's
Yankee.
Better than Derek Jeter. I don't think we could argue. I don't think we could argue that. All right. Parlay Kid, take it away. Kyle Tucker.
Harry's such a troll.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking Kyle Tucker. MVP 15-1. Sal, like you said, votes in the past. He's gone up his last 3 years, 20 votes to 15 votes to to fifth in the voting. Last year, he's keeps ascending here. He's entering his prime years. He's 26 years old. He's an over 300 guy. He's an over 30 home run guy. I think those numbers can go closer to 40 and 120 in the home run RBI category. 2022 Gold Glove winner. He's an excellent defender. Runs the bases really well. Plays on a premier team in the Houston Astros. Kyle Tucker, Sal, he's coming on. He's going to be entering some prime years for him to get the big bucks, and that's when these guys really start to produce. Tucker MVP at 15-1 is great value.
All right, Brother Brian, I love this Adley Rutschman, the best all-around catcher in the game.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I do love your Julio Rodriguez pitch, but I'm going to go with a little bit of a long shot here with Adley Rutschman at 25-1. You know, it's rare to see a catcher win it, but you know, we saw Maurer do it. We saw Posey do it. Rutschman is the type of talent, maybe even more talent than those guys had. He was the top pick in the draft for a reason. And this kid has put up two great seasons already. So if he can get his power numbers up to 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, on-base percentage of close to 400, he should just have as good a shot as any just because the Orioles are going to be good.
All right, let's give our World Series pick real quick. We only have a couple minutes left. I'm going to start with the Phillies at 15-1. I hate that I'm doing this, and I'm not leaving myself a lot of room for the Mets to make the playoffs because I picked the Marlins to make the playoffs on AAL. The Braves are likely to get in, and now I'm taking the Phillies to win the World Series. 15-1. Like Gonzaga, they don't really need to win the division. They proved that. They made the postseason the last 2 years, got as far as a wild card. They're 15-1 because they're not expected to win the NL East, but they're clearly the third best team in the National League. Harper, Castellanos, Trey Turner, Alec Bohm could all be all-stars. I'm not even counting Schwarber with 47 homer. You know, Zach Wheeler, it hurts my heart knowing that he ended up being the best of those Mets pitchers. He's an all-star. 15-1, just way too high. Get your 90 wins. Sit back and watch the Dodgers lose or hand them the loss yourself in the playoffs. It's a bet. Bet it and forget it. I'm taking the Phillies. I'm not going to root for it. 15-1. Harry, you got the Braves. This was your favorite team many years ago before you switched favorite teams. Six times.
Yeah, well, look, Sal, I'm taking the Braves at plus 450. Let me start with their spectacular pitching staff. They led the National League in strikeouts last year. Max Fried is healthy now. They added Chris Sale and Spencer Strider in the last two seasons. He's 31-10 combined with almost 500 strikeouts. They led the majors in batting average, homers, RBIs, hits. Not the Dodgers. The Braves did last year. Atlanta's loaded offensively again, obviously, and I wouldn't be surprised if their numbers are better than LA's this year. Braves at plus 450.
Parlay Kid, Mariners, 20-1. Good number.
Yeah, I like the Mariners here. So 88 wins last year. You know, they faded late in the season. And, you know, you just got to get in it to win it now. Baseball has changed in that respect. Do they have the best rotation in baseball? Well, they're right up there with Castillo, Kirby, Gilbert, Miller, and Wu. Excellent rotation. Would you just aforementioned Julio Rodriguez is an up-and-comer, obviously one of the premier players in baseball. And they've also added winning type of players like Garver from Texas, Polanco from the Twins. This is the deepest lineup they've had in many, many years. This is a very good Mariners team all around, especially led by the pitching staff. Mariners at 20-1 to win the World Series.
All right, Brother Bri, Orioles undervalued, however you look at it, 14-1 to win the World Series.
Yeah, 14-1, look, it's probably a trendy pick, but this team is so young last year, and they still won 101 games. You know, now, you know, you add Burns, the perfect pitcher. The top of this lineup is awesome. And the fact now that they'll actually spend some money when they need to, maybe midway through the season here. So at 14-1, I really
like this team. All right, good stuff all around, boys. Now I'm going to give out my MVP of this segment, and it's going to go to Harry for riling up the Parlay Kid and for wiping the salami off of his camera. I really appreciate that. Hey, when we return, we're going to close things out on Cousin Sal's winning the weekend.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's winning weekend. Hey, we're almost out of time, but try this one on for size. FanDuel has a high scorer prop for the regions. Let's go to the South. LJ Cryer from Houston at 10-1 this weekend. 37 in the first two games, and that's with being in foul trouble. There's good value there. Go to FanDuel and back that Cougar. And that does it for this week. Good luck to everyone as we march on to the Final Four. My thanks again to Seth frickin' Rollins. And as always, my freaks, the D3, Harry, Darren the Parlay Kid, Brother Bri. Thanks to all of you for watching and listening. And please, always remember, you may feel like an underdog, but just know, you're all my favorites. Happy handicapping!